an Old Testament prodigal son. And his name is Manasseh in the Old Testament. But just think about some things tonight. And what I'm gonna try to bring out, I'm gonna try to bring out the same love that God had for his prodigal son there in the New Testament, and then the prodigal here in the Old Testament, and the same love that what God loves them with is the same love that he loved us with. And it doesn't change. He doesn't change because of time. He doesn't change because of the different situations that we get ourselves in. He's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His salvation never changes. It's always the same. But here in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and it says this: Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathens whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Right here, we see where Manasseh, right here, he reigned for 55 years. And he was 12 years old when he took on that position. Now, we was mighty young too when we took on the position that what God has given us as the children of God. We was young. We was young in age. We was young in maturity. And with God's help, he has made us mature enough to understand certain things in the Word of God. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I don't understand it all. I don't believe nobody can understand it all. Because it says over there in John chapter 14 and verse 26, which is my favorite verse, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "he teaches you all things." The Comforter. He teaches us what this word says. And without the Comforter, we don't understand none of it. That's the reason I believe that people, that's the reason people says it this way. They say, "I don't understand the King James Bible." So they got to go out here and they got to get something else, like a NIV. Well, if you get some other translation, then instead of going out here and spending $10 or $20 for another Bible that's in another translation, they just as well off as go to the grocery store and buy a TV guide and pay $1.50 for it. Because if they got the same thing. Because, you see, the TV guide is not going to get you no closer to God than the other word will. And I believe that because God says, "My word is settled there in heaven." His word. He didn't say anywhere in his word. He says, "My word. My word is settled there in heaven." I cannot go and take the word out of heaven and then for me to come up with some other translation. Because I cannot get no closer to God than what this Bible is going to take me. But if I go out here and if I get me another translation, then what am I doing? I'm falling away from God. I'm falling away from what He's asked us to do. And as a young Christian, it was kind of hard for me to understand some things in the Bible. But that's when maturity, that's when that I should not get frustrated, and I didn't get frustrated with the Word of God. I read the Bible, and I read it. And when I got to something, then I didn't realize it at the time. But the Holy Spirit just pulled that little chain up here. And that light come on. And when that light come on, and then I said, well, you know, I ain't never seen that before. See, we cannot see anything as long as we're in darkness. But when we have the light turned on, then we can see plainly. But that, like I said this past Sunday, there are too many people today that is walking around without any kind of blinders on. They're walking around with great big old sunglasses and everything. And the thing about it is, then that sin that's over here on the left and that sin on the right will take our eyes off of Jesus. We don't even never take our eyes off of Jesus. And we do, I do, but I shouldn't. But Manasseh right here had no thought and no time for the Lord. He was king at 12 years old. So he thought he had the bull by the horns. And he said, now, here I am 12 years old. Now I'm the king. I am the ruler. They're going to answer to me. What he should have said, and he eventually got to that point in his life that he come to the point and he figured it out that what he was doing was wrong. He knew the only one he could trust and believe in was God. That's just like the prodigal son over in the book of Luke. The prodigal son, and then you have his father. Well, the prodigal son there was like me and you. It's considered that me and you. But the father is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, he loved his son. And he was willing to give his son that has turned his back on him, that took everything that his father had ever built up for him, and he gave him his inheritance. But even though he gave him his inheritance, but he did not say, son, well, here's your inheritance. Here's what you think you worked for. I'm going to give it to you, all of it. But I still love you. I still love you. Just because he gave him his inheritance, the father did not come back and say, well, son, well, you just come, you just got what you wanted to get. Now you got it, you go on and go. I don't want to see you no more. No, his father continued to love him. That's one thing that I have done, and I'm sincere with this. I just don't understand how God in heaven could allow his son, Jesus Christ, to go to Calvary and hang on that cruel cross for me and allow the breath that he had in his body to dissipate. just go up. And then he was laid into a borrowed tomb. It wasn't his. Somebody loaned it to him. Why did they loan it to him? Because God told them to loan it to him. See, God knew that he wouldn't be there for 3 days. Three nights. On the third day, he would rise. And he would conquer death, hell, and the grave. He didn't conquer it for himself. He didn't conquer it for his Father. He didn't conquer it for the Holy Spirit. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for me and you. That's the only way that we can honestly say that I'm not going to hell. Because I know that I'm saved. And I know that I'm not going to hell. But even with all of that, I still cannot fathom how God, as big as God is, how he can love me like he does. Can you? I don't understand it. I just don't understand how God can love me. Because I'm nothing. I'm nothing without God. And sometimes, even though I have God with me, I'm still out here in the world. And at times, I'm still nothing. How can God love somebody that at one time in his lifespan that he cursed God, he defied God, I defied everything that God stood for, I didn't want to have anything to do with God at all, I didn't want to have anything to do even with his children, I didn't want to have anything to do with the church. And if I had any indication at all that there was a preacher coming to visit me, I would make sure that in the summertime that I would get out there on that Super A farm hall and I'd be out there in the garden and plant the garden. I'd make sure of that. I didn't want to talk to him. Because God didn't have anything for me. But he did. He gave me life. He allowed me to be able to conquer death, hell, and the grave. He conquered it for us. Now he has given us an opportunity to where we can go out here and we can do the same thing. We can conquer it for the other people out here. I don't want to see nobody die and go to hell. My worst enemy, and I got some, I don't wish that on them. Because see, if they get saved, they're not my enemy anymore. If the individual that you say that maybe be your enemy, and the reason that they are your enemy and my enemy is because of what we believe in. Because of the step that we've taken for the standards we stand by. They don't realize what they're missing. But once they do, once they get in, once the Lord Jesus Christ, he's invited into their heart and into their life, they're going to say, well, you know something? 4 or 5 years ago, when the preacher come by my house, or when
Bill come by my house, or when Nancy come by my house, and when they were just invited me to church, I wish now that I went on and went. I wish that I went on and went to church. I wish that I got saved a whole lot younger than what I did. I got saved when I was 30 years old. 30 years of my life, I feel like was wasted. I feel like that it was a waste. Why? Because I was not doing what God wanted me to do. I was stubborn. I was impatient. I wanted what I wanted it now. I mean, I still want what I want it now. And it was the same way when I was lost. When I wanted it now. When I wanted to go to the Skylark, I wanted it go about right now. I didn't want to have to wait to Saturday. I didn't want to have to wait to Sunday to get up there at Skylark on Sunday or Friday or Saturday night. I wanted to go up there now. But they're not open. I wanted it then. And when you get to that point in your life, you want it then. The sin that the world's got out here, you'll fall into it. You'll fall into that sin that takes a grip on you. It takes a hold of you. It shackles you down to where you got them shackles of iron around your feet and the shackles of iron around your wrist and everything, and then you got the chain going down to your leg where you can't move and you can't do this, you can't do anything. Shackled.
That's just like Manasseh right here. He was shackled. After he took over the reign at the age of 12, he started going downhill all the way. Started going downhill. And says in his second verse is talking about like unto the abomination of the heathen. What that means is the abomination to the nation. That's what the heathens mean. Nation. The people there, all the people, was an abomination against God. If you want to, and I don't suggest anybody doing it, but, you know, I mean, I don't. When I'm out talking, or when I'm talking to somebody, or another Christian, or something like that, I mean, I don't get down and start whispering. I don't whisper. I use my normal voice. And we'll be talking. Matter of fact, I was up at the little places right up. Right there on 86, when you come off of Goodyear Boulevard, a little service station there. This was right after I got saved. I hadn't been saved probably 2 or 3 months. And there was another gentleman in there that I met him there probably 3 or 4 weeks there. He's pumping gas, and I got to talking to him. And he asked me, he said, "Are you saved?" I said, "Yes, sir. I sure am." I said, "Are you saved?" He says, "Yes, sir. I am too." He says, "We are brothers. We are brothers in Christ." So, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I saw him again there. He was pumping gas in front of me, and I was pumping my gas in the back, and we both went inside together. And it was two or three individuals in front of us, about ready to pay for the gasoline and what else they had. But we seen some people come in, and when they come into the store, they wasn't up front where we was at. They was back in the back, and the store's not that big. The store was much bigger than this place up here. It wasn't as large as this, I don't think it was.
And an individual that was in front of me and the other gentleman, he turned around and he said, "Look back out." It was two men hugging and kissing. He says, and that gentleman asked me and that other man that I'd been talking to, he says, "This world has come to this. It's a shame. It's a shame that you have to go out in public and they just blatantly come out and see it." And says, "I don't know why in the world all these queers and all these lesbians want to do all of that." I said, "First of all, you said the wrong word. You said queer and you said lesbians. What does God's word say about it? God's word says the abomination. The abomination to the city, the abomination to the family, the abomination to the self, and the abomination to God." You know what happened? Both of them individuals turned around and looked at us, and they walked up right where we was at. They didn't say nothing. They didn't even speak. The reason this world has gotten the shape it's in, the same way, and the same thing that happened to Manasseh. It happened to the other prodigal son in the New Testament. It happened to Peter, and it happened to Paul. That's the reason. Because what? I'm no better than Paul. Matter of fact, I'm on the lower level than what Paul was ever on. When Paul was at the lowest of his point, and when he was so low on the ground that the snake could not crawl up under him, me today, I'm lower than that. Why is that?
I'm going to say this in closing. You know the reason that we're in the shape that we're in? You know the reason church is in the shape it's in? Because us as Christians, we are too timid. We are too ashamed. What this Bible teaches. We don't call it sin anymore. God says it's sin. S-I-N. Think about that now. S-I-N. Was it spelled sin? What's the middle letter in sin? I. Myself. I have sinned. Why? Because I won't give out the truth. So many churches today are not giving out the truth. And I'm going to give out the truth as long as I got breath in my body. And if it ever gets to the point that you may say, "Well, I can't, you know, you're getting too strict now, you're getting too dogmatic on certain things. Please don't do that. Because I can't change. The same Bible that I read, the same Bible that I study, the same Bible that I teach from, and the same Bible I preach from, is the same Bible that them three men that Monday afternoon took and read the Roman Road to me and told me about how I could get saved. It wasn't no NIV. It wasn't a Living Translation. Hey, I got the only Living Translation that there is. God has too. God's there settled in heaven. This Bible right here does live. It lives and it breathes. It lives within us. Why? Because we take it for what it is. I take it for what it is. The reason it lives within me. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, for this, the words that you've given me, Father. And Lord, I know that some of the things that you give me that I wrote down it, I did not even get into. But Father, now I'm trying to obey the Spirit. The Spirit said quit, so I quit. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you'll take the words that you've given me. And I believe it within my heart, my soul. It's the very words that you give me. Because I couldn't even think about it. I couldn't even ponder on the things that I said. But I'm so thankful that you allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Father, I pray, God, that you keep me faithful to thy precious word. Lord, that I will not change in the way I'm going, in the way that I'm studying, the way that I'm praying. I pray, Father, that I do not change. So I'm asking you now, continue to touch my heart. And Father, if there's anything there that you see is wrong, my prayer is that you'll bring it up to me. Father, so I can come to you and I can name it. And I can ask you to cleanse me of that sin. Because like I told them, the sin is a three-letter word. In the middle letter in that word is I. I know that I've sinned. I know I'll come short every day. But I am so thankful that I love and I'm serving a God of forgiveness. And Father, tonight, as we go into the little short business meeting that we do have, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll just take it over. And Father, it will go according to your plan. And Father, as we're being dismissed from each other tonight, as we do leave here after the business meeting, Father, that yes, we're going to be separated from each other until the next time that we meet. But we can never be separated from you. And I'm thankful for that. Lord Jesus, I love you. I love the Son. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Trinity of God. I love people in general. I love them all. I love the sinner. And Father, most of all, I truly love these people.
that's here. I know a whole lot of times that I may not say it, but Father, I do love them. Father, you take control of the rest of the service. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. All right.